Comments and views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. It's my delight to be with you here this evening. Thank you for being here wherever you happen to be all around this planet. For those of you who are tuning in for the very, very first time, a special welcome to you. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. I got to tell you, folks, we have been under attack again today, and it has been an all-day battle to get this site up for tonight's show. We were fighting this battle right up until showtime, but here we are, and the site is up and should be working. At least the major components are working. There are some things that are not working, because we think that what happened was they got our databases again. As you may have noticed, these persistent attacks have not stopped us, and we will not be stopped. We will be here. We will be broadcasting. And eventually we will catch who's doing this, and they will be prosecuted. Have you been over to our to vote for our podcast? Let me tell you, that really, really is very important. Very important. And I hope if you have not voted yet in February that you will do so. All you have to do is go over to kevinsmithshow.com and scroll down till you see a big yellow some big yellow letters in the middle of the page that says vote for our podcast, and you just click on that and it will take you over to our page at podcastalley.com, and vote for us. Okay, now it's not a popularity contest. For some people it is, but for us it's very important, and it helps us to obtain and to retain the sponsors that keep this show coming to you all the time. So help us out with that, okay? If you haven't done that, you hear me say it every night, and you've been saying, yeah, I ought to do that, or, yeah, who cares? Well, if you like the show, please help us out. Go over there and vote at Podcast Alley. And, again, the way you do that is you just click on where it says Vote for Our Podcast over at kevinsmithshow.com. I don't know if my guest this evening, the announced guest, is the reason behind what has happened, but I will tell you that after announcing that on the air last night that he was going to be with us tonight, all hell broke loose. And as I say, this has been going on now all day. And we won. Eventually, we always do, and we always will. But I'm anxious to ask him if he thinks there might be something to that. Maybe it's because we're going to be having retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. After these words, we'll be right back. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Pro Flowers has an incredible offer just for radio listeners. Order one dozen roses for just $20.
Back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I stated yesterday, as I stated earlier in this show, my guest this evening is Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean, retired. And he is someone that I have wanted to have on this show for quite some time. I finally met him in person at the premiere of the movie called Fast Walkers. And I did get to interview him there at the premiere for just a few minutes. But this is the first time that we've been able to get together and have him as the guest on the show. So, Robert Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's my honor. My pleasure.
You know, looking back a little bit at when we were at the premiere of Fast Walkers, there was quite a collection of people who are, I don't want to say celebrities, but certainly well-known in UFO research. You were one of them. But it really was quite an evening and quite a gathering of a lot of the top names in UFO research.
Well, I was interested in being there. It gave me a chance to see some old friends. You know, the interview that I gave was over 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And
you mean in the movie?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and it was interesting, and I shared this with Bob, the sponsor and the guy who put the whole thing together.
Yeah.
My views have changed a little bit in the 2 years since I gave him that interview at Laughlin, Nevada.
Really?
Yeah, really. I'll be honest and frank with you, Kevin. For many years, I worked hard and rattled a lot of cages and rocked a lot of boats to try to get congressional response and have open hearings on this whole matter. I believed, and I still believe, Kevin, that we're dealing with the greatest story in human history. I've never doubted that. The more I've learned over the years and the closer I got to really understanding what was taking place, it hit me that there is no story that I could possibly come up with or think about that would be of greater impact on the masses of the planet Earth. This thing impacts the entire human race. And as I've said many times, it's the greatest story in human history. And for many years, I really worked hard to try to get our government to respond to the people and tell them the truth. And as I learned more and more over the years, as I got closer to the truth, I was fortunate in that I had access to information, Kevin, not only when I was in the military, but even after I retired. For most of my years in the service, and even the 14 years I worked at FEMA, I had a top secret clearance. And I had access to information, and the more I learned, the greater impact it had upon me. And I have finally come around to the point that, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that the people are ready for it, Kevin. I honestly think the story is so big that I do not anticipate any time soon where the government will come out and make anything like a disclosure. It's not the sort of thing government does, Kevin.
Well, you know, I have said on this show, I don't know if you're familiar with what I've said about this, but along those lines, I've said on this show that, you know, a lot of people in the UFO community say, well, we're sophisticated enough that we can handle whatever it is. And I have said, I don't think so. Not the mass population. I am surprised, actually, to hear you say that.
Well, I was talking to my son on the phone today. My kid is a career naval officer. He's assigned at the Pentagon. And I was telling him, I said, you know, your old man isn't too smart. I mean, what is it, the old saying? Is it too soon dumb and too late smart?
Yeah.
I finally got some smarts in the last two or three years, and I've come around to that same view. Kevin, the more I learned about what we're dealing with here, the more I've become convinced that the masses of the people out there really are not prepared for it. And I agree with you. You're not going to get anything like government disclosure anytime in the next few years, and I doubt if it's going to happen in my lifetime.
What I have said is that, like everyone else, I'm as curious as anybody.
Well,
I mean, you know, my curiosity would love to know what all that stuff is that's being held back. On the other hand, I also have this position, and that is that there are people who are sworn, took an oath to keep those secrets, and you know, I hear people say, well, there's no need for all this stuff to be classified. Well, we think that, but since we don't know what's in those files, we don't know whether there's a need. But I do know what happened in Boston. I do know that when a cartoon network, perhaps, I don't know if it's the Cartoon Network, but a cartoon network did an advertising campaign in 10 cities. 9 cities didn't have a huge reaction to it. Boston shut down the city and, you know, called out the bomb squads, and all it was a little black boxes that had a cartoon figure on them. And if you get that kind of reaction over a little box with a cartoon figure, what do you suspect you would have if there was a full disclosure?
Well, Kevin, there's never going to be a full disclosure. I really don't think that... it's probably going to take a century. And I hate to sound pessimistic, but I think it may take the greater part of this century before the great masses of people are able to deal, or even close to dealing, with the scope of what we're talking about. Kevin, it's not simply that we're being visited by guys from another planet. It's not simply we've been dropped in on by guys from another star system.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself would be a shock. That would upset a number of people, particularly a lot of fundamentalists.
Mm-hmm.
If that was merely the case, it probably would have come out a number of years ago. But the older I've gotten, and a little wiser I hope have gotten over the years, the more I've realized that the people who wrote the Brookings Report back in 1960 knew what the hell they were talking about. Kevin, this story is so big, it impacts everything on this planet that most people believe. Our worldview, our so-called paradigm, is going to be shaken to its very foundations when all of this comes out. And I'm not going to live to see it, and I suspect it may take the greater part of this century before the masses of people are going to be anywhere prepared for this. Kevin, this thing is so big, it's going to shake science to its foundations.
That might actually be a good thing.
Well, I'm sure it would be, and I would love to be hanging around long enough to see some of that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the most narrow-minded, bigoted people in the world are our so-called scientific establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys with tenure in some of these larger universities,
yeah,
they're not prepared to deal with any of this. And that was one of the interesting aspects of the Brookings Report. That among all of the different aspects of society that would probably be impacted negatively by this, establishment science would probably be one of the most serious areas. And I think that's probably true.
Well, I think so. I think, you know, we have scientists. There are true scientists who they approach it from the standpoint of let's investigate, let's experiment, let's see what we can find out, and the chips fall where they fall. Then you have the guys who are trying to protect the status quo. And those people who are trying to protect the status quo, as a group, have been wrong 100% of the time down through history.
You're right. Well, what really gets me, look at the hoop-a-doo that's going on right now over evolution and creationism. You know, I've been a student of that area for many years. And in my conclusion, and I'm not a great scientist by any means, I'm simply an open-minded guy who's done a lot of research and pay attention, is that there's something to be said positively about both of those views. But you're not going to get these Darwinian scientists to admit that there is a possibility that there might be some intelligent design involving the human species on this planet. And some of the information that has been disclosed, highly classified, over the years is that the human race is indeed a hybrid race, and that some of these advanced intelligences from out there have had a hand in upgrading us genetically for literally centuries. Now, you're not going to get some of these Darwinian scientists to even want to discuss that.
Well, you're also not going to get very many people who are fundamentalists about the Bible to agree with that either, although I can prove quite easily that that is exactly what it says in Genesis.
Well, you see, when you really look at both sides of it, Kevin, both of them are right.
Well, and both of them are wrong.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You see, there is a lot to be said for evolution, Darwinian evolution, when you look at apply it to the mass of species over history, over the millions of years of time. But you can't apply that to the human species himself. I don't hold with the creation idea that this was all done 10,000 years ago.
Correct.
I do hold that, I'm a supporter of Zechariah Sitchin's research. I've known Zechariah for years. Are you familiar with who I'm speaking of?
Absolutely.
Well, Zechariah is one of the most brilliant researchers on the planet, and I've been convinced that his conclusions from the very beginning are pretty true. And you find this in Genesis. It just says it very clearly.
Yes, it does.
Let us make man in our image, and that's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the disturbing thing for a lot of people, Kevin, is that the same guys that had a hand in that are still around. Now, that's a bit of news that, you know, you just don't put it in the front page of the New York Times.
Are they living on this planet?
Well, they're living wherever the hell they choose. And yes, they are all over this planet.
So then, do they look like us?
Well, that's what's so interesting. The one group that I'm aware of, the one group that I researched over the years when I still had my my classification, when I still had my clearance.
Now, let me say before we get into this, don't tell me anything that is classified.
Well, there's not a hell of a lot that I could tell you that I haven't blurbed out already. Kevin, I violated my security oath some years back. I sat on top of what I learned for, 30 years, kept thinking that eventually in time that the government would decide to start telling the people the truth. And I waited, and I waited, and I got retired. Then I went to work for FEMA, and I kept waiting, and I kept digging, and kept using my contacts to learn more and more about what was going on. And I waited in vain, and the government didn't decide to tell anybody anything. And not only that, Kevin, they clamped the lid down even tighter. The national security state exists. The American constitutional democratic system doesn't exist any longer. We've lost all of our benefits and all of our freedoms, Kevin. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. This is not the country that the founding fathers had in mind when they created us in 1777, 78. We are a national security state, and anything that could rock the boat, rattle the cage, or upset the masses is classified. And it's going to stay classified, and they're not.
Well, let me ask you a question or two about about that. Yesterday on this show, I announced that you would be my guest tonight. By morning, my site was gone. My website was gone. Now, this has been an all-day battle, right up until just before showtime, to get this back up and working enough to do the show. There are still things on the site that don't work. We'll have to, over the next few days, try to repair it.
What happened?
Well, that's a good question. And I'm not going into details here on the air. I'll tell you off air after the show. I wondered if it was related to the fact that I announced I was going to have you on the show. What do you think?
Well, I find that a little amusing. Excuse me. I have been a big mouth, Kevin, for at least 10 years now, and I challenged the military to charge me. You know, I came out of the closet, as it were, about 1991-1992. There was a big lawsuit down in Tucson, Pima County. I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not. I had to sue the sheriff of Pima County for denying me a promotion because the Office of Emergency Services, the Department of Emergency Management, had been placed under the Sheriff's Department. And the job opening took place. I applied for it, and I won the thing. I was the one that had the most points, and I had the most background experience and education and all the rest. I got the job. The sheriffs denied me the promotion, and when I finally sued his butt and took him to court, he admitted that the reason he denied me the promotion was that I had been doing research in UFOs.
Uh-huh.
So I sued him. It hit all the national papers. The People's Newspaper, the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were three or four stories in the Enquirer, and I think the Boston paper picked it up, and the Washington paper picked it up. Anyhow, I was on national television. Well, I won the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 2 years. And I won the lawsuit. And after that, it kind of dawned on me that the government didn't particularly want to mess with me because of my big mouth.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've said here on this show more than once, and I've put it in writing, is that if anyone ever tries to harm you financially, harm your career, because you're open-minded about the possibility of extraterrestrial life, sue them. You will win. You will win. We have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue our discussion with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean, and he is rather astounding me with some of what he's telling me. And I have, Robert, I have heard you in documentaries, I've heard you on radio shows, and you're still astounding me with some of what you're saying.
Well, Kevin, I've spent a lot of years working on this thing. I have always believed that the people not only had a right to know, I've always believed that the people had a need to know. And I've said that again and again because I have always been convinced that if this could be brought out, if they could be told what's really going on, that knowledge in itself would probably bring about an expansion of consciousness in people that I think would be essential for them to grow and develop and to face the 21st century. I think we're going to have to change our way of thinking, Kevin, if we're going to survive as a species. we can't go on into the next century or two with the old ideas we've had for the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. We just simply will not survive as a race if we keep doing the stupid things we've been doing. And I keep thinking that if we could simply understand that we're not alone, that we've never been alone, that that knowledge in itself would bring about an expansion of their consciousness and open up their thinking to a point that we might understand that we're all one race, one species on one little tiny planet here, and we might survive as, you know, fellowship, human brotherhood, and the rest of it.
But you have changed your opinion of that now, right?
Well, I'm still believing that if we could deal with the truth, accept it, that it would bring about a change of our worldview, and that would be beneficial. But I don't believe there's going to be disclosure from the government, because that's not what government does. Government does not give away its control and its power. And if they were to disclose the totality of what we're dealing with here, they would lose control, Kevin, and they're not about to do that.
Are we dealing with something that is dangerous for us?
Well, these ideas, Kevin, are dangerous, yeah. I mean, how do you tell the masses of people that the human race is a hybrid race, that we have been genetically manipulated and literally created from a lower form? That what you read in the first chapter of Genesis is not only exact, but it's the full truth. We have been created by an incredibly advanced human species from another planet. Now, that's a pretty good step right in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you go on and tell them further that practically every major religion on the planet is a result of ideas and creative developments from several advanced extraterrestrial intelligences? Now, how do you tell the masses that? How do you go into Mecca in the Saudi Arabia and tell the Muslims that their religion, as is Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and all the others, a result of a program, of a plan from several advanced extraterrestrial societies?
Well, I think it would be quite easy to go into Mecca and tell them that. I think it would be more than difficult to come out.
Well, you wouldn't get out.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you wouldn't get into Mecca because you're not a Muslim.
That's true.
You won't even get in there, you know, let alone get out.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, look, in fairness, there are people who say they are Christian who would be just as violent if you were to say that to Christians.
Oh, listen, I have encountered that already. I spoke out at a conference in Dallas one time, and I thought I was going to get tarred and feathered there before I got out. There are a lot of, you know, that's Bible Belt country, literally. And I was sharing some ideas about what I had learned over the years. I had done a lot of research in the origins of Christianity. And I said that, you know, I didn't believe that Jesus of Galilee was from this planet, that he was from somewhere else. And, man, I got a big stir. I got threatened within an inch of my life, to tell you the honest truth. And then I said, look, listen to what the man had to say. He himself said, I'm not from here. This is not my kingdom. This is not my world. In my Father's house are many mansions, and this is not my world. I have come here and to tell you the truth and to share with you, and look what they did to that poor guy. They hung him on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only a part of it, Kevin. I mean, the religious issue here, the theological implications of this reality is literally earth-shaking.
Well, you know, if there were full disclosure or something close to it, there could be tremendous economic upheaval.
Oh, God, yes.
And
if the government came out and had a disclosure, as Stephen Greer, and Stephen is a good friend of mine, and I have got a lot of respect for him, except he's still convinced that if he agitates enough, he's going to get Congress to hold some open hearings. And I disagree with him on that. But if we could just get a little bit of this information out, good Lord, it could bring about a realm of, peace would break out, for God's sake.
Or chaos.
Huh?
Or chaos.
Well, that's the whole point. We'd probably have a little chaos before we had peace.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a deeply spiritual man over the years. I'm not involved in any organized religion. I guess you would call me a Gnostic Christian if you had to give me a label. But I've always found that in every major religion on the planet, there is quite a bit of truth. And, of course, in every major religion on the planet, there's quite a bit of bullshit, too. The point I'm making is that religion is not the answer, in my opinion, Kevin. Spirituality is, if we could all understand that we're all human. You know, let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even get scientists today to admit or recognize the reality of what is known as the human soul. And you can't get standard, traditional, establishment scientists to even recognize that there's such a thing that of an immortal spark, an intelligence, a consciousness within each and every one of us, no matter what language we speak, no matter what church we go to, no matter what country we're from, there is a single cosmic, universal, conscious intelligence within each human being on this planet. And that is the basis of spirituality. And that's what most every religion on the planet initially tried to teach.
Well, I think the reason they don't admit it is because that's something they don't have a way of measuring and quantifying scientifically.
Oh, but they do have.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. There's been work done at a laboratory down at the University of Arizona here by a brilliant scientist by the name of Gary Schwartz that's practically proven the reality of the human soul. Gary's got a couple of books out that you might enjoy reading sometime, but there have been tremendous advances made, Kevin.
And how is that received by other scientists? I know he's head of that department.
Yeah, Gary is a brilliant man, and most of the people who, even his critics, have to admit that scientifically he's followed the procedures, he's done all of the homework, he's done all of the research, and his laboratory has, practically beyond doubt, come up with proof that the human soul exists. But I didn't need any of Gary Schwartz's work to convince me. I had myself hypnotically regressed a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to the conclusion that I got a soul, and it's been around a long time, and it's going to continue to be around for a hell of a lot longer. So I look at this world problem and this world view with a little bit different approach, you see.
Well, now, earlier I had asked the question, and we got interrupted by a break. If these extraterrestrials, whom you say they're not just visiting, are they here among us, and do they look like us?
One group, now this is what I learned over the years, Kevin. When I retired from the military, the military authorities, I say the government, had beyond doubt there were four different groups that we were dealing with. They were all humanoid. Now, we learned this, and we had known this as early as, 1976. I retired that year. And we were dealing with four different groups. They were all humanoid, but not all of them were human. Out of the four, the one group was totally human, so much so that they could put on a suit and tie, a dress, you know, sit next to you in a restaurant or on an airplane or in a theater, and you wouldn't know. You simply would not know that they were from another planet in another star system. And that used to drive the good generals and the admirals up the wall, because we in the military were primarily paranoid. If we weren't, we were trained to be so.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that there could be non-human entities from another planet in our midst drove those guys, you know, up
now, when you say they were totally human, I mean, are they really human?
Well, they're about as human as we are. I don't know mm-hmm. whether you could... matter of fact, let me put it this way. They're probably more human than we are.
Okay.
If according to the ancient teachings and from some of the research that we've been able to do over the years, genetically, we're practically identical. They're a hell of a lot healthier than we are, and that they literally did primarily have a hand in creating us in laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the all of the work that Zechariah has done is pretty much right on. But as I said, they look like us. They most of them are fair. Some of them are referred to as Nordics in that they're so fair that they have blonde hair, sometimes red hair,
mm-hmm.
blue eyes, green eyes.
Well, what are they doing here?
Apparently, some of them have been here, Kevin, from God knows how long. They have established facilities all over the planet. They have research facilities. Some years ago, there was a very famous remote viewer by the name of Pat Price. Now, I'm fascinated with remote viewing, Kevin. I've been doing a little of it myself. I don't know whether you've done any research on it, but...
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
It's a pretty legitimate field, mm-hmm. you know. The Army picked up the ball and ran with it for a number of years with the famous Stargate program. But Pat Price, before he died, was probably one of the most talented remote viewers that we've ever had. And Pat said that he remote viewed four separate facilities on the planet that were alien operated and had been there for centuries. He declared that there was one of them inside the Pyrenees between France and Spain, deep in the mountains. There was another one smack dab in the middle of Australia, deep underground, interestingly enough, near a place called Pine Gap.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably heard of Pine Gap.
Sure.
The National Security Agency has one of its largest facilities there. And I find that kind of interesting that the NSA has a major facility right smack dab where there's a major alien underground facility. There's another major alien facility in what used to be Rhodesia. I think it's now Zimbabwe.
Okay.
Deep underground. And then there was another one inside of a mountain in southeastern Alaska. And Pat Price pointed those out, and other remote viewers in more recent years have concluded, confirmed what Pat came up with.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much confidence do you have in that information from Pat Price?
Well, if it was only Pat, I probably wouldn't buy too much into it, but it's been confirmed by several other remote viewers that I happen to know and respect. And
so you place a high degree of confidence in it?
Oh, well over 90%.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this very interesting and amazing conversation with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. So don't go away. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. And we're talking about probably some of the strangest stuff that you can talk about. And that is the possibility of UFO extraterrestrial life, not only in existence, but maybe even living and working right here on this planet. Robert, what would you say would be their purpose? What are they up to?
Well, Kevin, I tell you, it's taken me a long time to reach some of the conclusions I've reached. And I'm very hesitant to, you know, try to cram them down people's throats. But not only have I been convinced that the human race is a hybrid, that we were not only created literally from a lower form, but we have been monitored continually from the beginning of human history. I look upon this planet probably as one of the galaxy's most rich zoological gardens in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the advanced race that had a hand in our being here has monitored us, looked after us, encouraged us. As I said earlier, I think the evidence is pretty overwhelming, and that's one of the things that the government is scared to death to even get involved in. And that is that every major religion on the planet owes its origin to manipulation of advanced extraterrestrial intelligence.
Well, why would they create so many different religions?
Well, they created religions at different times in different places, depending upon the kind of people that they were dealing with. They established religious ideas within cultures. I mean, look at the origins of Hinduism. It was established basically in India, God knows how many centuries ago. I mean, the origins of Hinduism probably go back 2,000 or 3,000 B.C. Look at Buddhism itself. The seeds were planted at a time and a place that where they stood a good chance of germinating, and where they were in accordance with and appropriate to the culture of the people at the time. The same with
But what would be the purpose to establish a religion anyway? Why would they do that?
Look at the origins of Judaism. The idea is that the so-called gods tried to teach some rules and some laws for human behavior that were beneficial to the species, to help it survive, to help it develop. For example, look at the Ten Commandments. If you look at them open-mindedly with, you know, just honest appraisal, you look at a code of ethics that is simply a way of trying to teach people how to behave. And I think that was the original concept of almost every major religion. Jesus of Galilee said it himself. He said he came from the Father to give us the truth. And what was he basically taught? He taught love, compassion, forgiveness, understanding, tolerance. They were rules to live by, and that was, I think, the origin of every major religion. You find it in Buddhism, you find it in Hinduism, you find it in ancient Judaism. Essentially, it's in the Quran itself. Although some of the sects have developed their own philosophies over the years, Islam right now is going through what Christianity did about 400 years ago during the Reformation. But essentially, a religion was an attempt to teach people how to behave, to turn them into a higher form, you know, to teach them government, to teach them ethics, to teach them tolerance and brotherhood.
Well, religion today, I just want to see if you agree with this statement, that religion today tends toward control more than enlightenment.
That's why, Kevin, that I am not personally involved in any particular religion. As I said, I was born and raised a Christian, but it dawned on me over the years that a lot of the old preachers had personal agendas that I couldn't buy into.
Yeah, and retirement plans, too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you honestly, Kevin, this modern organized religion to me turns me off because it basically is, as you say, it's control and money. And the other thing about it that I don't buy into and don't like is that it divides people.
I feel compelled to throw this in, though, that not all ministers are sinister.
Oh, no, no, no.
And there are some that, you know, are really themselves very much Christian without being very religious about it.
I agree with you, and I've known a few.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some good folks out there, Kevin.
Sure.
There's some good pastors, and I've known them, and I take my hat off to them.
But the thing about religion and a disclosure of what's going on with extraterrestrials, as was mentioned in the Brookings Institute report, it is high profile. It's a big thing. And you hear a lot of, not all, but you hear a lot of ministers come out and say that if you, quote, believe in UFOs, that that's evil and it's a deception of the devil and so forth. Well, now, I'm going to make another statement and see what you think about this. I say that I don't believe in anything. A thing either is or it isn't. And if it is, there's no need to believe. If something is, there's no, like a doorknob. You know, it's there. I don't have to believe in it. It doesn't call for faith. And believe is what we do when we get to the end of the evidence and our questions are still not answered and we make a speculation to bring it to a conclusion.
Right.
I'm sorry?
I agree with you, Kevin. I agree with you completely. I was making a presentation one time some years ago, and I brought out some of these pretty challenging ideas, things that I'd learned. And a guy stood up and he says, "Do you believe in God?" I think he probably got in the idea that I was an atheist,
yeah,
or an agnostic at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No, I don't believe in God. I know." And he didn't know how to deal with that, so he kind of shut up and sat down.
All right, we have to take our top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean, and we will open the telephone lines so you can talk to him as well, all right? The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, and we'll begin taking your calls right after these words. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. Robert, we have someone holding on the line, so let's just go right straight to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Kevin, it's Francine from California.
Yes, Francine.
And I am so blessed that I got through to talk to Mr. Dean.
Well, he's listening.
I feel so privileged, sir, to be able to talk to you. Everything that you have said, I believe, and everything you've said, I say the same thing. I believe that there is a missing link, which I believe they are the missing link, that they have helped us come along to where we are today, and I still think that I believe that they're doing that with us to this day.
Did you have a question for Robert Dean?
Jesus, I could talk to him for hours.
Well, we can't do that, but
I
if
know,
you have a question,
know,
we just, can take it.
All I want to say is it's just such a pleasure to talk to him, but everything he says, I believe, is true, and we're not going to have to wait for the military to disclose, because they themselves are showing themselves all over the skies. Like I said, I've taken so many videos of them. I've had four spheres. They have gotten so close to my face. I even have their insignias on the video. I have red V's, which, yes, there's four of them. I thought it was one object. They were so bright moving in my backyard. They became, first I saw the one light, then they became two separate objects, then three, then four. And I have their white spheres with red V insignias with a red circle on them, and I have it on video.
Well, let's ask Robert, have you ever heard of that insignia, Robert?
Well, there have been several insignias that I have seen on photographs over the years, which indicate to me that, you know, we have different groups from different places, and apparently they do have an insignia. But, you know, I'm not sure that I know any one particular insignia that stands out in my mind.
Okay. Francine, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number, 1-800-289-1092, is open, and it's toll-free throughout North America. Now, if you're outside of North America and you wish to participate in the show, all you have to do is send us a flash message. Now, the way you do that is you address an email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, and that will get to us. And that is the only email address that I monitor during the show. Okay? flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Now, you have to be outside of North America for that for us to read that on the air. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yes, Don.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm recovering.
I know you had a rough day.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Mr. Dean, good to speak to you.
Well, nice talking with you.
I have several questions for you. When you decided to break your oath from secrecy, did the military or your authorities, did they threaten you in any way with cutting off your pension?
Well, it's an interesting question, and let me tell you a little bit of what happened. I kind of come out of the closet, as it were, so to speak, you know, and started to speak honestly about this subject. After I had won that lawsuit against the sheriff in Pima County, I got so frustrated and so aggravated and so angry that I had to go to court to defend myself over the UFO matter. That's when I decided to say, the hell with it. I was going to speak out and share what I've learned and what I'd concluded. And in the process, I have indeed violated my security oath. The oath that I swore years ago when I had a cosmic top secret clearance was for life. Now, a lot of oaths that you swear for, you know, confidential and secret and all for 10 years or so, but the oath that I had to swear was for life, that I would never divulge any of this information that I learned while I was in the military. Well, I purposely decided to violate that oath because I got frustrated with the fact that the government was not beginning to share any of this with people. And yes, indeed, I received a lot of phone calls and even visits from people. I had a guy show up in my office one day, you know, practically, you know, the three-piece suit type of guy, you know, very well-dressed, $50 tie and all the rest of it, asked me if I wanted to buy some insurance. And I said, no, I don't need any insurance. And he says, oh, by the way, about this information you've been talking about on UFOs, don't you think that you're stepping out here and taking a big chance? Don't you think that you ought to pay a little more attention to keeping your mouth shut? And it dawned on me that this guy was, you know, sent there, I'm sure, to intimidate me a little bit. And I said, well, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut, and if they want to lock me up, they can. But they can expect one hell of a big lawsuit.
But they didn't threaten you with anything like cutting off your pension?
Well, no, they've never taken that step. That would be pretty drastic. That would really get me riled. I have had a number of phone calls. I got one call in Tucson a few years ago, almost midnight, telling me that I'd been blabbing too much and it was about time to shut my mouth and keep quiet. You know, I've had mild intimidation, but nothing really overt. They haven't taken my pension, because I think they knew that if they did that, that I would really go to court and we would have one hell of a lawsuit, and they didn't want that. And I'll also tell you something else. I have always been convinced that there are people back in Washington or wherever these policy decisions are being made. There are people who want me to do what I've been doing, or I would never, ever have gotten away with it. I've been convinced that there are people in positions of power in government that want me to speak out, or I would never have been allowed to do it.
Do you have another question, Don?
Yes. What about Charles Hall? What do you think about Charles Hall and his story of the tall whites?
You know, I know him. I met him. I had a chat with him just a few weeks ago up in Sholo. And his story is fascinating to me. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what to say about that. I have seen so many strange and weird things over the years that I will never ever say that there's nothing to it. Although there's a part of me that says, how could so many things be happening up there with only him speaking out?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too, because I never hear anybody else talking about the tall whites except Charles Hall.
If his story is true, and I'm not saying it isn't, I would imagine that there would have been at least a half a dozen other guys speaking out about it. So I don't know what to say about that. As I said, I've seen so many out of the world kind of weird things happening that I would never say it's not true.
I have one more quick question for you. And with the government's concern, you say it's not likely they're ever going to come forward because the chaos you think it would create, because of religions and everything else. Do they have inside information? Are they in communication with the aliens where they would know something, for instance, like the 2012 scenario about a great disaster coming, and they do, that is another reason they don't want to tell us?
Well, I'll tell you what little bit I've learned about that. I know a man in Washington, D.C., a brilliant man who is the owner, operator, and director of what's known as a think tank. He is one of the most highly placed individuals on the edges of government in Washington, D.C. And he knows aliens. As a matter of fact, he deals with them from time to time. We do indeed have a relationship with at least one group, and that they have been working very closely with us. Now, whether there's anything to the rumors and stories about impending disasters, I don't know. But I know this, that one alien group that we've been involved with for a long time has gone out of its way to bring us and the Soviets around on the nuclear problem. I have been convinced for some years, and there's overwhelming evidence, that the Cold War was brought to an end by alien intervention. They made it very clear to the Soviets, and they made it very clear to us, that they were not about to allow a thermonuclear war on this planet. So if they're helping us and looking ahead into the future to see what's coming down the path in 2012, I don't know, but it's not unlikely.
Okay, Don, thank you for the call.
Okay, it was good talking to you, Mr. Dean. Bye.
Bye. All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. That number is toll-free throughout North America. If you are outside of North America, please feel free to send us a flash message. Just send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Trey in Atlanta.
Yeah, Trey.
Yeah, I want to thank Mr. Dean for being on tonight, and I'd like to suggest to the audience, if you can find his UFO Insider Cosmic Top Secret. It's a four-disc series. He interviews several people. My favorite one, he interviews Neil Freer. It's a really good interview, and so I want to suggest that to people. I wanted to ask Mr. Dean first about them. You said that they want you to do what you're doing, and I believe that's true, because I think if they can get any kind of disclosure, mild drips of disclosure through, and they don't have to do it, other people can do it, I think they're all for that. And as far as these TV shows that have been on lately, we've had several different TV shows. We've had Invasion, we had Threshold, we had Surface. We've got two shows. We've got the 4400, which is the same thing as Heroes, basically. It's humans with different powers. And do you think this is all kind of pointing towards something here? Or is this just all coming out at the same time as a coincidence?
No, I don't believe in coincidence, and I think you're a very perceptive caller. I think that you're right. I think there is a process underway through television and movies to kind of expand people's awareness and acceptance of this subject. I think that that's what's going to happen eventually. We're not going to have a governmental disclosure. We're going to have gradual acceptance, gradual realization. It's going to take time, and perhaps the people will slowly reach a point where they can accept it. And I think that, you know, there's a subtle process, a program underway, to keep bringing these things out. To give you an example, I have always been convinced that the television show Stargate had, I think some of the story ideas were probably planted in the minds of the writers. Matter of fact, they may have even sent some of the scripts. But I think that if you've ever watched Stargate, that that show in itself has so damn much truth and reality in it that it blows me away.
Mr. Dean, you're right, because of the timing of that movie, because the recent documentary that came out with William Henry, that documentary was in 2005, I believe. The original Stargate movie was in the 93 or around that area, and so for them to have made that movie, they would have had to have the information that this guy's just now putting out on this documentary, talking about these ancient gods using wormhole technology and comparing it to modern-day wormhole drawings. So there's no way they could have come up with that movie, because it's got some of the exact same symbols as these old drawings in this 2005 documentary. And I've got to agree with you there. That sounds like something that was planted there by someone who's been doing research, you know. But if that's really what's going on in Iraq with you know, ancient buried Stargates or whatever, we did not know about it last time we were there, because we were in a position to go in when we had a chance last time we were in Iraq, when we had all those other Middle Eastern countries with us. So whatever, if that's what is going on over there now, it's something we've just discovered since the last Gulf War. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call. And folks, the telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-289-1092. Robert, what you were talking about is a sort of a gradual exposure, getting people sort of softened up, I guess you could say, to the idea. So let me ask you about Mars. There was a movie called Mission to Mars. I don't know if you saw it. It was put out by Disney. And the astronauts go to Mars, discover that the face on Mars is actually a face covered over with a lot of sand. What about Mars? Is that sort of a real picture of Mars, or is that just purely fiction?
Well, I saw the movie, and I was in kind of intrigued by it, and I thought to myself, there may be more truth than legend here. I tell you what little I know about Mars, and I have been arguing with Richard Hoagland now for, you know, some time. Richard's a good friend, and he and I have been arguing about, are they there, were they there, or are they still around? And, of course, Richard takes the approach that intelligent life on Mars used to be there, and that they built a lot of monuments, including the so-called face. And I hold that not only were they there, but they're still there.
Oh.
I agree with Zechariah Sitchin that the Anunnaki established a base on Mars a long time ago, and that base is still in operation. It's underground, of course, but the Soviets have photographed it.
Is that right?
That's right, and I included that Soviet photograph in my slideshows when I spoke publicly a few years ago. There is a photograph that was taken by the Soviets a few years back, taken in the infrared, that picked up a massive city under the surface on Mars.
I have seen that. As a matter of fact, I think Richard Hoagland had that on his site at one time and maybe still does.
He may have, yeah. A matter of fact, I think I gave a copy to Richard, but I got it from the Russians. Marina Popovich gave me a copy of it some years ago.
And she's formerly with the Russian Space Agency, isn't she?
She was a cosmonaut, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyhow, there's this massive city about the size of Chicago underneath the surface. And I told Richard, I says, if NASA really wants to bite the bullet, they'll land one of their surveyors on top of that. And then we'd get some real photographs.
But I might think, be some sparks, huh?
Someone asked Sitchin some years back, he says, Zechariah, when did they leave? And he said, what makes you think they ever left? They're still on Mars, and they're still here.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Yes, good evening, Kevin. Good evening, Mr. Dean.
Good evening.
I've got a question about, do you regret anything you've done since you left the Army?
I'm sorry, I'm having a little problem hearing.
He says, do you regret anything you've done since you left the Army?
Oh, my. I'm going to be 78 in 2 weeks, and there's a lot of things I've regretted in my life. But coming out and speaking openly and honestly about this subject is not one of them. No, I really can't say I regret. I'm sorry that I was not more successful in getting a lot of people to pay attention to what I was talking about. I never had any funding. I never had any money to, you know, pay my way, so to speak. And I've never been the kind of guy to hold my hand out and ask for contributions. So my so-called effort to get congressional hearings didn't succeed very well. And I'm sorry about that, because I really did for a time believe that this thing ought to be in a congressional hearing and it should be open to the public. And the people do indeed have a right and a need to know this. But, no, I don't regret very much since I retired.
And may I ask if you can shed any light on Serpico? The Serpo, the paper that came out about us traveling with aliens to other planets?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, can you shed any light on Project Serpo?
Oh, you know, I don't have any knowledge about that at all. I know this. I'm pretty convinced of this from the information that I had, at least 10 years ago, that we have been involved with at least one of the major civilizations from elsewhere. And that I wouldn't be at all surprised that we might have had an exchange where we sent some of our guys off to their planet, and they sent guys here.
But you have no knowledge that we actually did it.
I have no knowledge about Serpo, no. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's any truth to that. I know this, that we've got a separate space program, separate from NASA, that's been run by the military now for 30 years. And if we sent guys to other planets, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Okay, Michelle, thank you so much for the call. And let me remind everyone of our phone number again, 1-800-289-1092. If you have a question or a comment for Robert Dean, you can call that number toll-free anywhere in North America. Of course, that does include Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Marianne. I'm calling from New York.
Okay, Marianne.
Yes, I have a question. What about Dr. Richard Bolan and the Indigo Children? Do they belong to the aliens? You know, are they a higher bred generation than what we are? Does he know anything about that?
What about that, Mr. Dean?
That's a good question, and I know Richard, and I've known him for years, and I have a great respect for him. His concept of the Indigo Children is fascinating, but the reality is, I think, a lot vaster and more impressive, more incredible than even Richard might even understand. I have been convinced for years that the genetic manipulation of the human species has never stopped. That it's undergoing, it's continual. It's underway all the time. And that there are bright young people being born every day that very well may be products of this kind of manipulation. It's subtle. And in some cases, it's not so subtle. Some of the so-called abductions, where people have been abducted, taken out of their beds in the middle of the night, abducted along highways and so on, that's part of the ongoing and continual genetic hybridization.
Okay, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean, and we'll continue taking your calls, so get your fingers ready to do the dialing. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call, toll free throughout North America.
My name is Tommy, and I'm calling from Keystone Heights, Florida.
Okay, Tommy, you have called this show before.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead for Robert Dean.
Okay. I'm glad you accepted my call.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Dean, I have a couple of questions for you. First, is there any truth to all this stuff about free energy available? And if so, why don't you tell about it? And why don't you get on a TV or something and tell things, well, like you have on the radio tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you what little I've learned over the years, and yes, indeed, we have free energy. I say we have it. It exists, but it hasn't been released for a number of reasons. I was able to learn some years ago that we, at Los Alamos, American scientists conducted a sustained and controlled fusion reaction at Los Alamos. Oh, good Lord, it's been 20 years ago by now. So apparently we got it, but it's not going to be released anytime soon, because primarily the economic situation would be such that it probably would bring an end to the oil industry, which I think would, to a certain point, would probably be a good thing. But I think that if they released the fact that we have free energy, it would upset the world economy to such a point that we'd probably have a stock market crash. And another thing that I learned over the years, and I've been pretty open about this, although, you know, not too many people pay attention, we have anti-gravity.
Really?
We really do, and we're flying anti-gravity machines out of a Lockheed Northrop base in California that are powered by free energy.
Now, I want to come back to that because I want to engage in some questions about that. Let's
that
take the caller
dynamite.
That we have. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Dean a question. You've spoken about several groups of extraterrestrials that our government has been in contact with, which I'm also aware of, too. Have you yourself ever spoken to any of them or been in contact with any one particular group?
I was visited by an extraterrestrial in my private office in Tucson, Arizona, a number of years ago. Yeah, that's the only incident that I can refer to where I have beyond no doubt whatsoever.
How do you know that was an extraterrestrial?
Well, let me tell you a little story. We got a couple of minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
My office was on the third floor of the sheriff's department. And we had a controlled access to the building. When you went into the department, you had to come in on the first floor at one major entrance, and you had to sign in, show your driver's license, or you know, whatever. And they had to give you a pass, and they had to sign you in, and you had to tell them who you wanted to visit and why. It was a controlled environment there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I guess, you know, law enforcement being what it is, it made sense. My office is on the third floor. So one day I'm sitting in my office doing some paperwork, and, you know, good God, in government, local government, like anywhere else, is paperwork all over the place. Reports, never ending. And there was a tap on my door. And I said, yes, come in. And a fine-looking young man, about, I guess, late 30s, early 40s, stuck his head in the door, and he was well-dressed and comfortable and casual. He says, do you got a minute? And I says, yeah, I think so. Come on in. And he says, I've seen you on TV and heard you speak out on this subject of extraterrestrials and UFOs and all. And I said, yeah, I've been doing a little of that. Yeah, been on. That was about the time I had been suing the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat him down and said, yeah, I that's me. What can I do for you? He says, I'm just curious. What do you really think about this? He says, do you think it's something to be afraid of? Is something that bothers you? Or do you have any fear? And I says, no, I don't think so. I think they've been with us a long, long time, and that if we had any reason to fear them, you know, it would have been over a long time ago. And we chatted for, you know, oh, I guess 15, 20 minutes. And he said, well, listen, I want to thank you for your time. He said, you've been very gracious. He says, I appreciate you giving me the time. He says, I'm interested in the subject. I was curious about what you thought about it. And then he got up and left, shut the door and left. And about 30 seconds passed, and it dawned on me that I had no slightest idea who the hell I'd been talking to.
Was he wearing one of the badges, one of the passes?
No. So I jumped up, ran to the door, and ran out looking for him. And he was nowhere in sight. So I got a hold of the guard down at the main gate. The only way you could get in and out of the building was coming through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to show who you were and, you know, pick up a pass and all that. And I says, whoever was just visiting me stopped him. I wanted to chat with him before he leaves. And the sergeant on the gate says, Mr. Dean, nobody has visited you. And I says, hell, I just had a guy come in my office and chat for 20 minutes. I mean, he was here. Now, don't let him out of the building. I want to know who I just had a conversation with. He says, nobody has come in the last 30 minutes, and no one particular has come in to ask to talk to you. And I ran down to the front door, and there was no sign in. There was no other gate that he could get out of. All the other gates, or all the other doors were emergency doors. You opened them, the big alarm would go off. And I went back shaking my head and back to my office, and I began to think about it, and I thought, Jesus, you know, I think I've just been visited by a real extraterrestrial.
Well, maybe.
And, you know, that's all I can say. I have no proof. But the fact that he disappeared so completely, and that he didn't sign in, he didn't sign out, and nobody at the gate had seen anybody come and go, and here this guy came into my office and sat and chatted with me for 20 minutes, and it always hit me intuitively. I kind of got a gut feeling that, because the questions he asked me is if I was frightened by the subject, did I find any threats involved, and
maybe he was a Jedi Knight.
Well.
Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Robert, I think he's probably just gauging your reaction to your topic. But I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the thing about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the controversies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My thought is that I don't care what the physical vessel is. It's just a body. It's a machine. What's important is on the inside. And apparently that message hasn't gotten across to a lot of religions. What is your thought on that?
Well, if you're asking me, I totally agree with you. I think the human soul is the factor that makes all the difference in the world. Every human being on this planet, in my view, is a child of God. And each and every one of us has a soul, and that soul is immortal. And that for many years I've been convinced of the reality of reincarnation. This school, this planet is a schoolroom as well as being a zoological garden. And I think you're right that the only thing that's important is the immortal soul. And every one of us, whether we're Muslim, Buddhist, Jew, Christian, it doesn't matter. There's only one God, and there's every human being on the planet has a soul. And that, to me, that's the bottom line. I don't go to church. My church is in my heart, frankly, and I think your point is well made.
All right, Brent, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Good point. And the telephone line, folks, is open. You'll have to make it quick. We're coming up on a break, but 1-800-289-1092. You mentioned earlier that we are flying anti-gravity aircraft. Now, I've heard a lot of people speculate about that, but you're the first one I've heard say it's a reality. We're doing it. How sure are you?
Well, I've not seen one. Like Art Bell. Art Bell saw one fly right over his car some years ago.
Yeah.
I've talked to people who have seen them, and I've talked to people, retired Air Force and retired government people who were on the inside, as it were. We apparently not only back-engineered some of this material, but we had a few breakthroughs of our own. We've got some pretty sharp scientists.
Yeah, we do.
You don't read about them, and the program they're involved with, you never hear about it, and the funding is totally off the board, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the black budget has been so vast over the years that we've been financing some of these programs totally off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you may if you've seen it in Fast Walkers. In the years, what is it, 1998, 99, and 2000? 3 years in a row, Kevin, the Defense Department could not account for $1.7 trillion each year for 3 years in a row. Now, we're talking about some big bucks here.
Well, yeah, it's not chump change.
You know, and they add that up, and then consider that those are only the 3 years that the accounting office was able to come up with. They couldn't account for that kind of money. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we've had black budget programs for years, and we have vast research programs that, well, as I told you earlier, we've had a separate space program for at least 40 years. And all of the pathetic things that have been going on at NASA, we've got a space program that's totally run by the military, that primarily launches and flies out of Vandenberg on the California coast.
Don't people out there see the launches?
Oh, yeah, they see them, but, you know, what can they say? What can they do? And the fact that we've been turning out hardware out of a Lockheed Northrop plant there at Palmdale in California, on the Eastern California border there for a number of years, that we've got these giant black triangles that fly around at night, totally silent, and obviously anti-grav, and probably powered by free energy, because we concluded that, you know, we had a sustained and controlled fusion reaction at Los Alamos over 30 years ago. So the United States government and the Aerospace Command has got an entire separate space program that the poor guys in NASA may not even know about.
And
I'm convinced of it. You know, I've known people, Kevin, that people I trust that had clearances, that worked on the inside, that shared with me, and I believe that, you know, that's exactly what we've got. And I think we're probably going to get a little bit out. I think we're going to get some of it on the front pages here before too long.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's not going to be an admission of an ET presence. It's simply going to be an admission that we've got some technology that that we're going to release to the world before too long.
Well, we're up against a break. I've got a question I want to ask you about that when we come back. And, folks, we are almost out of time. So if you want to ask a question, you got to be the first one to call me right after this break, all right? 1-800-289-1092, toll free throughout North America. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. And we have a caller on the line. So, caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
John in Oklahoma.
Hello, John. Are you a first-time caller?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, go ahead for Robert Dean.
Mr. Dean, what do you think, and what is your theoretical impression of what constitutes gravity that we're able to neutralize in these flying machines? And secondly, would you define for us what you mean by soul? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm sorry. Would you run that by me again? I didn't pick that up.
Yeah. He wants to know, what is your theoretical view of what we call gravity, and how are we able to neutralize it? And then how would you define soul?
Well, the first one, I'm afraid, is a little out of my league. I won't even try that. You know, I find it amusing that not even modern scientists can agree on what gravity is. There are about 15 different opinions when you got 15 scientists I'm not sure they really understand it, but I do know this, that in their laboratories they have developed systems that apparently can nullify it. Because I've read reports and studies that have been made that a number of scientists have had breakthroughs. The Germans have evidently had breakthroughs in that research at the end of World War II. Thank God the war ended when it did, or we might not have won it.
Yeah.
But
what about a soul? What's your definition of a soul?
Well, I'll tell you what I firmly believe. Having had one for a few hundred thousand years, no pun intended there.
Okay.
I think the soul is an electromagnetic spiritual life form that is immortal. I think it literally is non-physical, but probably an electromagnetic life force that is conscious and intelligent and maintains its conscious intelligence for always and forever. I think the souls literally are sparks that come from God, and that I think souls have been created and coming to this planet for incarnation and learning from the beginning of human history.
Okay, what is God?
What is what?
What is God?
Well, I'll say this, and I'm with all humbleness and humility, I think God is a conscious intelligence that literally permeates the cosmic universe. I think God is, was, always has been. I think
so.
God,
you don't
conscious.
Subscribe to the Big Bang Theory then?
No, I'm afraid not. I think that's just a cute little theory that physicists have come up with to satisfy their own curiosity, and I don't think they know their, excuse my term, but you know what, from a hole in the ground. I think that the Big Bang is simply one of their latest theorems that they couldn't prove it if they had to.
I have a problem with the Big Bang,
yeah,
and it's really simple.
So
nothing, if everything came from the Big Bang, that means that there was a time when there was nothing, and a nothing cannot explode.
That's right.
Now,
you
that's
can't
just
get something from nothing.
Yeah, no, that was a famous song, by the way.
You might try to get it out of some physicist's mind, but I don't think you'd succeed.
Yeah, I have no explanation scientifically for how things started. But, I grew up learning in science that spontaneous generation is hokum.
Yeah.
And that's what the Big Bang Theory is, spontaneous generation from nothing.
I agree with you, Kevin. It's a cute little theory that I think these physicists have come up with, but I don't think that they can prove it. And I wonder how many of them really believe it.
Well, yeah. I think that, they've gotten with the Hubble. They've seen very far back, and they say they're only a few, very few billion years now from seeing the Big Bang. Well, I don't think they'll see it.
No, they won't.
Because I don't think it ever happened.
I don't believe it either, Kevin. Back to God, I believe that there is a conscious intelligence, a benevolent conscious intelligence that permeates the cosmic universe. And I think this is a loving and caring and a plan. I think that God has had a plan and it's been following through, and the human race is simply a tiny part of it. I think the universe literally, Kevin, is filled with intelligent life. Planets and star systems and galaxies, on and on forever. And there's intelligence and there's consciousness out there. And to me, that's God, and that's enough for me.
Well, I've heard it said that if someone can ever actually define God, then that person would be God. And, I don't think anybody can ever give a definitive 100% statement that encompasses everything there is about God, because if there is God and you could completely define him, then you would be totally equal.
Well, we're all a part of that, Kevin. We're a tiny part of it. We're a tiny spark from this vast, infinite flame that I call God. And I think when we leave here, we tentatively, temporarily go back to that source.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we come back here for further learning. I think planet Earth is simply a schoolroom.
Some of us are not learning too well.
Well, some of us have to come back and do the eighth grade over and over again, you know.
Well, listen, we are just about out of time for this evening's show. I want to thank you for coming on and talking with us. I know we didn't talk about the things, a lot of the things that you're most famous for, but I think we got inside the mind of Robert Dean this evening, and I appreciate it, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again in the future.
Kevin, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, folks. What a fascinating gentleman, retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. I hope you enjoyed it. I did, and we've got some more to enjoy for tomorrow night, and I hope you'll be here for that as well. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night we are going to enjoy Dr. Robert Schock, and that is going to be fascinating as well. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.